Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about decisions. We're talking about tests. And the last show we talked about, it's a test. It was a test at the beginning when you were put into the garden. You were to dress it and keep it, and you had a choice. You could choose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, decide for yourself what was right and wrong. You could even gather together with others, because you had to go out of the presence of God like Cain, and rule over one another, and give some individual the power to decide good and evil for you, to become judge over you, ruling judge over you, not just someone who was a man of advice, but a man of power. You could do that, but you had to go out of the presence of God. You could reject God and elect such Nimrods, Pharaohs, Sauls, and Caesars. Or you could walk with God and let Him into your heart and your mind, and you could be the children of God, the government of God, the kingdom of God, from generation to generation. As we explain in great detail in the book Thy Kingdom Comes, which you can download for free on the internet. So, if you're in the kingdom of God or seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you're seeking to be the kings and priests of His government. One form of government that operates by faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, and the Corban of Christ, as opposed to the governments of the world who make men their fathers and exercise authority one over the other. You have that choice. Now, you probably already made that choice, and now you're in bondage of debt. And you can't just decide, well, I'm not going to pay my debts, I'm just going to leave. Because they kind of frown on that. You know, Pharaoh don't want to let you go. But I can tell you this, if you get the mark of Christ in you, He'll want to let you go. He'll want to get you out. You know, an interesting phenomenon, some of the ministers have come across this, and probably some of you may even have done it, that there will be people that come to meetings and they stay way in the back and they pace about and they are like a caged wolf and they won't even make eye contact. What is going on? They're just repelled by your presence. Maybe not your presence, but in the presence of those who actually don't even realize it because they don't have any power over it, but they actually walk into a room and they'll bring the Holy Spirit in with them. They actually don't bring Him in. That's a misnomer. He just comes in with them because He listeth where He wills. But if the Holy Spirit comes into a room with you, those that love evil will hate being around you. They'll want to leave or they'll want you to leave. And they will try to deceive you and they will try to tempt you and they will try to do all kinds of things. But if you stay rooted in the Holy Spirit, you stay rooted in the power of life. Now, it's a test, so the inclination of your heart and the desire will be tested, because there's lots of chambers to your heart, the same as there's lots of chambers in your mind, and evil dwells in some of them for almost every one of you, because you harbor resentments and angers and judgment and unforgiveness, and so therefore you are not free. I don't care what other thing you think makes you free. If you have that anger and resentment and harbor that judgment, you're not free. You're in bondage. You may be a rebellious man in bondage, but you're in bondage. Because people can make you happy or sad. They can make you angry or mad. They can do that because you're in bondage. You're not free souls under God. And they lurk in your subconscious mind. They lurk throughout your whole body even. I and another minister was talking to somebody and we were counseling them. Kind of had them cornered because they really have been followed by demonic presences all their life. And inside them, you know, like in the movie Exorcist, you'll see the girl course, this is a movie, but there are certain truths that pop up here because they're based on stories about demonic possession, where the demon had control inside her, but she was still inside her too. She had no way of expelling the demon that was controlling her. Now you can say it's psychology or whatever, and it's a mental condition, but that's just because you don't see things spiritually. And it has become a mental condition, but it has spiritual roots, which is why we were talking about this epigenetics. Doctors and scientists are discovering that the mental state of mind that you have turns genes on in your DNA and turns them off. You know, you can see this in nature all the time. This is not something secret. You think that you are so vain, you think you're making decisions. You're not making decisions. You make one decision, everything else is a result of that. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, somebody else will be making all your decisions. You eat of the tree of life, God will make all your decisions. Who loves you, baby? Is it God? Or is it all those other people? That's the decision you make. The problem is a lot of you are lukewarm. You're not making the decision, you know, I kind of want to go after Jesus. I love Jesus, but then I love this over here too. And I love me, of course, most of all. No, that's not going to cut it. I'm sorry. You're going to bear bad fruit. And that's just the way it's going to be. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. I am what? I am what I am. I am what I think. That's what it is. And what you think is dependent upon the source of your thoughts. Is the source of your thoughts the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or is it the Holy Spirit? Because you're going to tell me it's the Holy Spirit, I suppose, but personally, I see very little of that in the world today. And that's why the world's in the mess that it is, because that's the fruit that you're going to bear if you're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And people are playing to your vanity. Oh, you're the greatest country in the world. Oh, you got this, and oh, you're this, and you're wonderful, and you're saved, and you're all that. Vanity, 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 vanity. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. And what I think makes me what I am. So, is God writing upon your heart and upon your mind? What's going on in that subconscious brain of yours? All kinds of stuff. You don't even know. You have to be still to know. In the Principles of Philosophy, René Descartes talks about some of these things. I don't necessarily agree with his conclusions all the time, but he was kind of smart. He said a lot of stuff that's true. He says, accordingly, seeing that our senses sometimes deceive us, I was willing to support that there existed nothing really such as they presented to us. And because some men err in reasoning, some men, that's an understatement, and fall into a paralogism. And what the heck is that? Paralogism. He originally wrote in French and then he wrote in Latin, but that's a piece of illogical or a fallacious reasoning, where you put pieces of the puzzle together and they don't really fit, but you hammer them hard enough that they appear to fit. It's kind of superficially logical, but it's leaving out pieces of the puzzle. But it seems logical, and I see that all the time. I mean, salesmen depend on that, and they manipulate people all the time. And there's, amongst every society, some men will be born and they have, all the pieces have to fit. They have these logical minds. The pieces have to fit or they reject them. Now, this is the big temptation. Under pressure of education, you often allow pieces to fit that don't really fit. But he goes on, even on the simplest matters of geometry, he says, convinced that I was as open to error as any others, rejected as false all reasoning I had hitherto taken for demonstrations. In other words, he realized he could be fooled. He said, I suppose that all the objects, the presentations that had ever entered into my mind when awake, had in them no more truth than the illusion of my dreams. In other words, you know, are you Hebrew, and even go back to Sanskrit, and they're talking about, are we, what we believe, is it true or is it a dream? What is the truth? I mean, Pontius Pilate even asked that. And René, he come to the conclusion that I think, therefore I am, and that's all he could prove, is that he existed. But then again, life is not about proof, it's about faith. He goes on, but immediately upon this, I observed that whilst I thus wished to think that all was false, it was absolutely necessary that I, who thus thought, should be somewhat, and as I observed that this truth, I think, therefore I am. You know, that cogito, I think, ergo, sum, therefore I am. Was so certain and of such evidence that no ground of doubt, however extravagant, could be alleged by the skeptics capable of shaking it. I concluded that I might, without scruples, accept it as the first principle of the philosophy of which I was in search. First principle. It's not the only principle. Because what is God known as? What was his first name when they first were talking about the name of God? I am that I am. So is what you thinking, I think, therefore I am, or I think, therefore I am what I am? Are you thinking with the mind of God? Are you thinking with the tree of life? Is that what's writing upon your heart and your mind? How do you know? How do you know for sure? Well, the Bible tells us by their fruits you will know them. What have you produced? The United States is a Christian nation. You can go over to a lot of other countries and they claim to be Christian nations as well. Australia, much of Europe. What are they producing? What are the Arab nations producing? Murder and mayhem and chaos. Somebody's missed a path and not following a path that would bring the fruits of righteousness to society. You have to go back and look at the very fundamental nature of your society, and you're going to have to make a decision based on that fundamental nature, not a mental decision up in your head where you say, well, I accept Jesus, and then everything's okay, because you may not know who Jesus is, or you don't know what you're accepting, and you're only talking to yourself and about 5% of your brain. The rest of your brain doesn't think in believe in Jesus, doesn't do what Jesus says, doesn't listen to the tree of life, doesn't walk with God. Because if it did, you'd be producing something different than what you're producing now as a society. And that's what this series is about. Paths of society. Archimedes used to demand just one firm and immovable point in order to shift the entire earth. So I too can hope, as he writes here, René writes here, can hope for great things if I manage to find just one thing, however slight, that is certain and unshakable. Well, René, to René, it's, I think, therefore I am. But isn't to say, I think, therefore I am, isn't that a lot like deciding good and evil for yourself? Is that really the fulcrum of your destiny as a living creature of God? I mean, we were made in the image of God. Who is your fulcrum? Is it Christ? Is it the mind of God? Is it the I am? And what does that mean? We can start creating whole denomination religions with those kinds of references. How do you know you're listening to God or you're listening to your own vain imaginations? How do you know the difference? Again, by the fruits. What's happening? Do you breathe out in disgust, impatience? Are you content? Are you at peace? Are you listening to a still small voice, or are you the voice of authority and anger and resentment and impatience? He writes, yet our mind, thoughts, emotions, and ego all get in the way and obscure this profound yet simple realization. The confusion serves its purpose. The confusion serves its purpose. Who is the father of confusion? You see, without confusion, there's no need to judge, no need to become angry, no reason to become impatient, no reason to hold a grudge. All these things bring confusion because you think, but somebody else am. Somebody else is writing upon your hearts and upon your mind. How do you get to the point where only the creator of life, the creator of creation, is writing upon your heart and upon your mind? Well, one thing we know you have to do is forgive, and another thing we know you have to do is give. According to Christ, anyway. Of course, you don't have to believe me on that. But my observations tell me that that is the case. And maybe deep down inside my heart, God is writing that there, and I'm accepting it. Can you accept it? Can you accept forgiveness of others, even forgiveness of yourself? The confusion serves its purpose. It's here to show me that I'm trying to grasp the truth by clinging onto intellectualistic truth. And yet, sometimes there's a feeling. Something comes into me and goes inside. It reveals itself from the inside, showing me I am. How can I not be? It's impossible. I am that I am, and I'm confused about it. Wow. I am that I am. He's saying that. What was that sin in the garden? That we believe that we might be gods. That we might be the I am that I am. A key to letting God write upon your heart is to admit that you are not the I am. You think, therefore you exist. In that sense, you are, I think, therefore I am, but I don't think, therefore I am that I am. The I am is that which gave me life, that put the universe into motion. That is the truth. That is what you want to connect to, immerse yourself in that spirit. What does that spirit look like? What does that spirit look like? Is that the spirit of God working in your heart and in your mind? Or is it the spirit of some lesser small g God working in your heart and in your mind? It will want to be the father of confusion. Nothing more confusing than an election. A campaign. Vote for this guy. Vote for this guy. Vote for this guy. Vote for this guy. Oh, if you vote for me, I will provide this and this and this. I promise you great swelling words of liberty. You know. It's the father of confusion. You need to let go of your desire to rule over your neighbor. You need to be willing to die, to give up your life for your neighbor, or you will not have life more abundant. If you want to take from your neighbor to provide you with welfare, or anybody else with welfare, I'm always amazed at the number of rich socialists. Multi-million-dollar rich socialists. Do they give up half of everything they have? Do they live like the poor they want everybody else to help? Or they live filthy rich and they have so much they can give a lot to charity? You know, a guy who makes $10 million a year, he can give $1 million to charity. What is he giving up? Nothing. He's not even going to miss it. And yet I see pastors who are worth $10, $20, $30, $40 million. You think, what do you think Christ was worth? He said, though he was rich, he made himself poor. The modern preachers, though they were poor, they make themselves rich by teaching you to be poor in spirit, by teaching you not to care for one another, not to be the social welfare, the benefactors, the Corbin of Christ. Shame on them. But of course, I know they're products of their seminary and training. They thought, therefore, they were what they were told. They became what they were told to be. But they had to have a love for that. You know, I see pastors sometimes, and ministers sometimes, that have a conflict in them. And I've talked about them in previous shows. I won't mention any names. That they have this conflict. And they actually, some of them have actually made a choice to change their thinking and their ways. And when those shows are up and available to people, we should send him a copy of that. And other ministers like that are making these choices and making a change. They're trying to find, they're saying, what I've been taught as Christianity is not really filling the bill. Something's missing. It's not satisfying me. And he's willing to give that up. Great. That's he's passed question number 6 on the test. It's a test. But he's got to take the whole test. You know, I read in there's a thing called IDM formula. And I can't even think of what that is. But decision making. Yeah, that's it. Intuitive decision making. And they were talking about follow your heart. Well, I always come back to the question, who's writing on your heart? You know, if Satan's writing on your heart, don't follow your heart. Because you're following Satan. You're following the adversary. So how do you know? You know, I don't want to personify Satan and what he is. Satan means adversary. He's adversary to what? The I Am, the creative force that gives life. He is the antithesis of that. Why? Because he is a taker of life, a consumer of life. That's what he does. So following your heart isn't going to do you any good, but If he's the one who's writing on your heart, but in following your heart, you're going to get to find out who you've been letting writing on your heart. Who's been writing on your heart? What is he producing in you? Impatience? Intolerance? Authoritarianism? You want people to believe what you want them to believe. I want you to believe the truth. I want to know the truth, and the truth in every moment. Truth isn't like something you can put in a box and carry it around with you. You put it in your purse and you carry it around. I have the truth. Anyway, this guy talks about his IDM formula, and he actually, and there's a number of different ways that people do this. It's kind of a gimmick, but it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, he imagines this red light, green light, and a mix of, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And I've talked to you before about what I've done in the past, you know, been at sea with no markers, not knowing where to go at night. And we were way out and we were trying to find our way back to a harbor. And how did I know where to go? Lost in the Canadian North Woods. I won't say lost, I'll say it might be bewildered. We didn't know the way back. We couldn't find the path. And we had to find our way all the way back to a car. And there's just like one dirt road, and the car sitting on that road. And we're miles and miles in the woods. And we can't find the path that we came in on. It just swallowed up in the thick brush. Couldn't see which way was north, south, east, or west, because it was terribly overcast and it was getting close to dark. And storm was coming. And so I did the same thing I did when I was out at sea. I just kind of turned and faced this way and that way, and the way that felt right, I went in. I followed my heart. You know, I faced this way, and that didn't seem quite right. I faced over this way, and that didn't. But right about here, that seemed good to steer the boat that way. We came right in the harbor. Just right through the shoals, never hit anything, just right in. Same way we came out, when we finally came out and found the road, we were within a few feet of the car. And we found it way quicker. I mean, it took us, we evidently were going around in circles a bit, because it took us like 5-6 hours to walk in, and it only took us like 2 hours to walk out. So we didn't have a clue where we were. We were completely turned around. We were trying to find a place that was back in the woods, and we did not find it. But we found our way out before it was dark. Completely dark, anyway. As we followed our heart. But what if your heart is being written on by somebody else? How do you know? How do you know? Well, we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So we were talking about in a show quite a while ago, we were talking about this epigenetics and the fact that your DNA is turned on, and you know, there are these nucleotides and everything which has to do with immunities to cancer. I mean, the complexity of the human cell is just unbelievable. It's just unimaginable. But of course, this is all just random coincidence that we exist in this manner. There is clearly a divine intelligence that is creating man. And the fact is, we were created in his image, but it has been the motive of the adversary to recreate us in another image. In other words, not fully like God, removing the characteristic of God that is conflicting with the adversaries of God. And there are several of them, but one of the most common is selfishness, judgment, desire to rule over others, to control others, to devour others even. And that spirit is pervasive in societies around the world, and you have to pick another path to do that. And so that I talk about creating a social welfare system based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Not because you can do it, but because you can't do it. You can't do it. But it can be done through you. And when you try to do it, you're going to come face to face with your personal inadequacies. And if you are willing to be still and know those personal inadequacies, which we call sin and error, then by the light of that awareness, the Holy Spirit may enter into you and write upon your hearts and upon your minds. And then you'll be able to do it because of the power of God working in you daily. But that power is a spiritual power that resonates in your heart and in your mind, or it doesn't, because you reject it. So one of the things I have here in the notes, it says, first thing to understand is that we all possess an electromagnetic field in which our physical body are immersed. So what does that have to do with anything? We have this tendency to think that we are a physical body only, and that we're actually a physical and spiritual body, but we're not just a physical body. We talked originally when we were talking about epigenetics, we were talking about how many cells in your body, these billions of cells, and how the DNA, if you stretched it end to end in your body, it would go from the sun to Pluto. That's how much DNA is in your body, and that's just the DNA. That's not even the epigenetics and all the other nucleotides and all these other things that are inside your body that makes you healthy or makes you sick. Controls all kinds of aspects of your being. But the cells are not the only thing in your body. There's also fluid. Water is in your body. Lots of water. Lots of liquid. 75% of your body, according to some, is liquid. Well, water actually has a memory. They're discovering that water can actually record. If you run water through plastic pipes, it's going to be different than water that's run through steel pipes, because there's going to be a marker based on the molecular structure of the pipe in the water. Amazing. And if you, same as, you know, when they talk about blessing food, who do you want blessing your food? If they're actually going to put markers in your food. You know, there's all kinds of miraculous stories of how somebody was given poor food and poor water and they blessed it and it gave them nourishment because they blessed it. But what power was he putting into it? What memory was he putting into it? How was he altering? I mean, we have the stories of water into wine. Now, a lot of people aren't going to believe that. A lot of people believe it, but they don't understand it. They don't know what that means, how that's possible. Well, if the Spirit of God could do that, can it turn on your genes and turn them off? You are a liquid creature. You are a cellular creature. All your bones and flesh are made out of cells, and each of those cells has the exact same DNA in them, but because of the epigenetics, liver cells know to be livers, heart cells know to be hearts, skin cells know to be skin, bone cells know to be bone. All have the same DNA, but their epigenetics is different because things are turned on and turned off. And that is influenced by what you think. Do you only think in your head? Or does what you think in your head affect the whole body? I mean, the operation of your brain is electromagnetic. There are dendrites connecting and synapses connecting and firing. That's electric. Your whole body is full of a network of that electric. So that would be a lot to think and figure out. I mean, we would just be trying to calculate that all day, but it's like the high pop-up fly to center field. That little kid who's flunking in math runs through a whole gambit of mathematical formulas and calculations in order to get his glove where that ball is going to come down at. He just does that. That's all in his subconscious, does all that math. He doesn't have to do that out in his conscious mind. If he did, he'd be stumbling because he'd be trying to think like that and carry the two, and it doesn't work that way. Most of what goes on in you is in the subconscious. And most of the decisions you make are in the subconscious. And there's a conflict and confusion in the subconscious. Because you think, therefore you think you are, I am what I am. And what you are is either a child of God or a child of the adversary of God. And what you, positive thinking isn't going to get you where you need to go. Because that positive thinking is only going to affect maybe 5% of your mental capacity. It might venture out into the subconscious another 5 or 10%, but it's just going to create conflict if the whole is not in agreement, in one accord with the Holy Spirit. Not only the physical body of flesh and fluid, but also this subtle electromagnetic field upon which our physical bodies are superimposed, or the electromagnetic field that is superimposed upon us through the scheme of our being, the physical presence of our being. So what does this have to do with the kingdom of God, and what does it have to do with where we are going with this? If you go read in Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, and he humbled thee. So God humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He had to hunger first. And then he fed thee with manna. And we think, oh, well, that was the bread that they ate. He says, which thou knowest not. He's not talking about the bread, manna. He's talking about the spiritual manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's a word? A word is a vibration set upon the breath of a man. Jesus comes out and gives his best sermon, his most profound sermon of all his teachings. He simply breathed on the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the manna which thou knowest not. Jesus talks about this same reference that we see in Deuteronomy 8:3, in Matthew 4:4, and it's also mentioned, interestingly enough, in Luke 4:4. Both are in chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Does every breath that comes out of your mouth sound like it's coming from God? Or is it sometimes full of impatience and intolerance and anger and resentment and unforgiveness? You can really talk about how much you love your neighbor while you sit in the pew. You know, it's like raising a baby. You know, babies get up at the most inopportune time. They wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't care that you got to go to work in the next day. They'll wake you up anyway. Can you still love patiently? You know, a lot of women are good mothers because God has drugged them. They need that drug. When the drug starts wearing off, then they start becoming more impatient. It drugged them with this hormone. The fact is you need to be not moving by the chemistry of your body, but by true love. And this is why we're given this whole span of life as a child, as an adult, as a mother, father, and then as grandfathers and grandmothers. Are we living by that love and patience that is Christ? Because that doesn't know. That's a raiment, wax not old upon thee. That's what it says in verse 4 of Deuteronomy. Raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And that's part of my job, to say you're not doing it. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it according to the ways of Christ. And you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to start doing it. Because, not because if you do it, it will get done. If you do it, you'll discover how far away from the truth you really have gone. By every word, by every vibration, and by every creative, and everything in creation is a product of vibration. Every atom is a product of vibration. He breathed upon the waters. And you are mostly water. So what breath is in you? What life is in you? How do I know? By your fruits. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, how many times do you hear that when you were a little kid, when your dad comes in and says, what are you doing? You know, if God were here, the first thing out of his mouth was, and he looks at the world as we have it today, and he would say, what are you doing? You might even say, what the hell are you doing? Because what you're doing is more in line with hell than it is with God. It has more the characteristic of Satan, who devours and takes a bite out of his neighbor, than one who gives up his life, lays down his life for his neighbor. In Psalm 120, we see a song, it says, of degree. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Well, you're going to get a lot of distress here. Right now, some of you are already under distress. Are you going to cry unto the Lord? Because the Bible talks over and over again about him not hearing you because you did things like elect Saul. So if you elect George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, he's still going to hear you? Maybe we could go up to FDR. If you elect FDR, is God still going to hear you? He wasn't going to hear you if you elect Saul and you follow the ways of Saul, ended up compelling offerings and eventually forming a draft and whipping the people with whips and even with scorpions. He said, I'm not going to hear you because you gave those men power over your neighbor, over yourself as well, but over your neighbor, so that you could have what you wanted. It was selfishly motivated. That's Satan that is speaking in their ear. And it is his voice that is forming the words of their being. Is there any wonder there is so much unhealth in the world today? It isn't the pollution. Not that we should be polluting. We should not be polluting. It's the pollution in our hearts. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. If you would really cry unto the Lord, you would not be having the problems you're having today. You would see true Christianity for what it was, and you'd be seeking that. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. That's the pastor said, I can't say this in our church. I can't say this in our church. I might lose the support of the congregation. Save me from lying lips, from deceitful tongues. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And we can explain that, but we'll go on. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. You know, David sinned against God and man because he instituted a draft. If anybody institutes a draft, are they sinning against God and man? Absolutely. Absolutely. It hasn't stopped being a sin. It's upborn of the spirit of Satan, spirit of Cain, who exercises authority one over the other for your benefit, but still exercises authority one over the other. Yet you have come to accept that as okay. Why? Because you have not been saved from lying lips. You have been deceived. You haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. And now somebody bears witness out loud in your presence, you get to make a decision. Is it true or is it false? Can you make that decision? You won't make it if the Spirit of God is not speaking to you. You know, I'm only bearing witness to that which is already in your heart. And for those of you who do not have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you're not going to hear what I have to say. You're not going to like what I have to say. But if you like what I have to say, because it's already written in your heart, you have to become doers of that word that's written in your heart. You have to put it into motion with your hands and your feet, with your body, with that fleshy body, so that that vibration may follow through every drop of water in your body, and every blood cell in your body, and every micro DNA in your body, with your whole heart, mind, and soul. In 121 it says, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. People are hills. Remember, piles of earth. From whence cometh my help? Where do you get your help? From the people and their free will offerings? Or do you get your help from men who exercise authority one over the other? They call themselves patronus, parens patria, father. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But Israel is where God prevails. Is God prevailing in your heart and in your mind? The Lord is my keeper. Can you really say that? Or do you have the lords of the earth as your keeper? The lords who exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said it wasn't to be that way with you, and yet there you are in all your churches, in all your synagogues, in all your mosques, praying 5 days a week, 6 days a week, to the men who exercise authority one over the other. Because you won't come together long enough to become the social welfare system of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You should not be free. And the governments of the world are punishing you and doing the work of God. And they're not doing wrong. You've done wrong. If you repent, turn around and go the other way, God will bless you. He will hear your prayers. But you got to turn around. You got to actually walk the walk. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If you repent, if you don't repent, you're going to have different lords. And you should have different lords because you've gone out of the presence of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that's what I'm saying. You are the stones and bricks and clay of the house of the Lord. You must fit yourselves together. You must walk in and create that house. It's not a building. It's not a temple. You're the temples. Each of you are the temples of the Holy Spirit. But you must come together to be that body of Christ. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, double peace. That's what Jerusalem means. Double peace, what? In your mind and in your heart. God is writing on both. Your heart is flesh, physical, electromagnetic, cells put together, pumping through every part of your body. And your mind is that electromagnetic communication through your nervous system and every part of your body. You think about your foot. You know, you can feel your foot in your head when you think about your foot and feel it in your shoe. Now you wiggle it to bring your attention there, but then just hold it still and feel it when I'm not talking. Do it on your own. Do it with your hand. And you'll notice that's because your mind is not just in your head, it's in your whole body. Your soul is in your whole body. Your spirit is in your whole body. And there are many rooms in that mansion. And in those corners, you will find anger and resentment and unforgiveness and judgment and selfishness. And it will make you sick. But if you let God in, He will make you well. And your neighbors testing you and testing your patience will bring your attention to your failings so that you may be healed. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Do not forsake the gathering together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, the name, the character of the Lord, that thanks, when your neighbor helps you, creates the bond of God's society, of His community. But you have to do it. The reason your families are failing is often because you don't sacrifice your time for your family. Sometimes your family is too demanding, but because they're not sacrificing either. It's a mutual sacrificial society, the family. But if that's in your heart, if that character of Christ, that name of God is in your heart, it should also be in the world and the society around you, that and the way in which you touch society. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy places. And until we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.